Good morning.
Good morning.
Still awake, excellent.
Again, my name is Brad, and I was asked to talk to you about training and education. Now, when I first was given the topic, I thought, excellent, there's so much we can talk about. And then I realized I only had 10 minutes. So I thought, okay, where am I going to begin? Well, how about the start? Digital revolution, if you will, has had a profound impact on society. I think we would all agree to that. Digital data has become very valuable. Hence, the archiving of this data has potentially become very valuable. The thing is, the consumption of digital data isn't going down. If anything, it's going up. Cisco recently estimated that IP traffic will reach, 667 exabytes by 2013. They also estimated that mobile traffic will double between 2008 and 2013. That's a lot of traffic, a lot of data consumption. So how does that impact archiving and forensics? I came up with three areas. I kind of like to think of this, especially from a forensic standpoint, where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. Okay? So from a forensic standpoint, we've looked at traditional processes, procedures. We want to know how to extract data from digital drives. Okay? We want to look at the legal implications. How does this impact archiving? We need to look at specific technologies. How do we retrieve data from web browsers, i.e. Chrome, Firefox? What about instant messaging? It's conceivable that an author could be collaborating with someone via instant messaging. How do you get that information back? What about Facebook, Twitter, cloud computing? Cloud computing, I find fascinating, especially from a security standpoint. I'm going to store my data on servers that can be dispersed throughout the world. I have no control over the hardware. I have no control over software updates. But this is a good idea. Okay, I'm a bit cynical. Mobile forensics, where we're going. How many people in here have a mobile phone? I do. Mine's a smartphone, okay? I can update my email, I can send text, I can modify Word documents. I know y'all can make phone calls too. Okay, so how does this impact archiving? From a process standpoint, how much of this list is applicable to archiving? I would venture quite a bit. Do you guys need to decide where to store information? Do you need to keep very accurate records on what you're doing? Do you need to actually create a digital forensics bit-by-bit copy of data? I'll tell you how, probably. Have you looked at the guidelines and the procedures by the Association of Chief of Police ACPO guidelines? My advice from a procedure standpoint, while the technology is sexy, it's fun, don't forget about the procedures. I've seen so many problems in industry where the technology was there. We could get the job done. But the human factor, from a software engineering standpoint, is where things fell apart. I think you can take something from that lesson. But we do get to play with the technology standpoint. We need to understand, I would think from an archiving perspective, how you actually retrieve data. What happens when something is deleted in NTFS or FAT or another file system? Okay. Programs, especially, because I spent several years in software engineering and programming, and I can promise you, there is no perfect program, or silver bullet, to steal a phrase from Fred Brooks, when it comes to programs. It will go wrong. Okay? Does the archivist need to be able to go down to the hex level to start to potentially repair files if something will not load? I'm going to pose more questions than I answer here today. I'm going to warn you now. What about file encryption? As encryption becomes more prevalent, how are you going to handle it? The reality is, you may not be able to, depending on the level of encryption that was implemented. Other solutions may be to use something like FTK's PRTK to solve the problem. What about full volume encryption, BitLocks? Okay. My advice, if you run across a BitLock, is to start looking for the recovery key. It's a really long set of digits. People probably aren't going to memorize it, so it becomes a treasure hunt at that point. Okay. Instant messaging. How many of you are aware that Skype, by default, logs all chat messages forever? Excellent. I think it's fabulous from a forensic standpoint. I can see it would be advantageous from an archival standpoint as well. Point I'm making here is you need to understand specific technology. You need to know what you're looking for, where to look for it, what you can get from pieces of technology. Okay? You can find all sorts of information in Skype. Call logs, file transfer activity, display icons, profile information. If you're looking for specific chat information, in this particular version of Skype, it's stored under the chat messages with a number at the end, depending on how long the actual record size is. If you actually pull up a profile file in FTK, okay, this is something that you'll probably find. You'll find the name of the person who's using the profile. You'll find where they're located. You'll find the email address. Okay, so you need to know where to go look. And it's going to be different between Instant Messenger, Skype, Yahoo, and it's going to change. Mobile forensics. This is exceptionally challenging from a digital forensics perspective, mainly because all the manufacturers have proprietary operating systems, firmware, and it can actually vary between different models within the same manufacturer as to how they're actually storing data. How are you going to cope with that in the future? Because it's not going to go away. As one organization noted, 4.1 billion mobile subscriptions in the world and a global penetration rate of 61.1%. So you're going to start to see mobile devices surfacing and archiving eventually. How are you going to handle it? I think there's a lot of crossover and a lot that can be learned from the research in the digital forensic side and the archiving side, going both ways. But I also think this opens up a lot of questions. I think you guys have to deal with questions versus quality versus quantity when you're trapping for information. How much do you keep? Does the business model support this? What are the legal implications for doing so? So again, we're back to understanding traditional forensics processes. We're back to applying these processes to the archiving environment. We need to take a look at specific technologies, and we need to be aware of where we're going, which is going to be the mobile forensics side of life. Is everybody?